I am excited this week to present my second special Christmas program for you with Patricia Corey from Italy, who is a renowned teacher, metaphysical physician, and spiritual guide to the sacred sites on Earth. Originally from San Francisco, she has used her clairvoyance abilities in healing and support work as she studies mysticism, philosophy, ancient civilizations, metaphysical healing, spirituality, and unexplained mysteries for over 30 years. In 1995, she founded the nonprofit Lightworks Association of Rome as a healing center, school, and the city's only New Age library. She is well known on the international lecture circuit for her courses, seminars, and workshops around the world. In 1996, she established the Lightwork Travel Club, Soul Quest Journeys, to lead fellow spirit travelers to Naples, Tibet, Asia, Mexico, Egypt, Europe, and Peru. Patricia's four-book series, The Syrian Revelations, and CDs of channeled meditations have been acclaimed worldwide for expanding human consciousness. They have been released this year by North Atlantic Books or Random House to a vast international audience through several foreign language editions. Her latest book, Where Pharaohs Dwell, was recently released and explores secrets of immortality through the magic of ancient Egypt. She is also the host of Beyond the Matrix radio show that explores the merging of science and spirit on BBS Radio. More information is available at www.patriciacorey.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Patricia, and I look forward to an encouraging message for my listeners for the holidays.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on.
Thank you. First, Patricia, will you tell us about you and how you began your spiritual journey?
Yes, I was a different child. As a child, I was very psychic, and I was nourished by a mother who didn't try to destroy that in me. So mm-hmm. I was allowed to go through that process as a young child, and as a teen. So many children are taught to not believe what they see, mm-hmm. but I was allowed that, as I said, and it quickly evolved from being fascinated with the gift of clairvoyance and those gifts that are sort of phenomenon-centered in our early stages of our spiritual journey, mm-hmm. To being aware that I would be in service in this lifetime. And I became involved with the study of crystals for healing. Mm-hmm. And in my early years, I became a crystal healer. So this was, let's say, the early part of my journey was progressing from being aware of having psychic gifts to how would this serve others. Mm-hmm. And I never looked back, as they say. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, I am still considered in service to others, and that's what I believe our purpose is for being here anyway.
Right, and I think that's such an important goal to have in life.
It is indeed.
Let's talk about 2012, and people are concerned about December 21st of that year. It's sort of become a focal point, and many people think that it will be the end of the world because the Mayan calendar ended that year. But there are others who think that it's the end of the world as we know it, and it's going to be a much better world. What do you see for 2012?
Well, first of all, I invite people to look at the extreme duality or polarity that surrounds that concept. Just like you just said, some see destruction and ending, mm-hmm. and some see beauty and renewal. And this is so indicative of how human beings are experiencing life at this moment. It's either dark or light, mm-hmm. for so many people. Mm-hmm. What I would like to suggest is that 2012 is when the calendar of the Mayans ends. And I believe that they were trying to tell us something different.
Mm-hmm.
Not that that's when life ends. Not necessarily that that's when a whole new heavenly light existence begins, but rather the calendar ends because time, as we know it, ends. How appropriate is it that, and clever really, because I'm sure you'll agree that shamans never come out and just give you the
mm-hmm.
right answer.
Right.
The job of assignment of a teacher or a shaman is to help the adept
mm-hmm.
get the clue,
mm-hmm.
figure it out. And so I think that this message is the clock runs out because time, as you understand it in the third dimension, ends. Not necessarily on that date,
mm-hmm.
but that we are headed toward a higher or a different dimension
mm-hmm.
as we ascend out of the density of this reality that I perceive as an illusion and a hologram, a wonderful one, at times a difficult one, but not necessarily the full spectrum reality
mm-hmm.
of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So how clever of the Mayans to leave the message encoded in the calendar, which is it ends.
Mm-hmm.
Time ends as you know it,
mm-hmm.
because many of us believe that the fourth dimension is the next stop along the dimensional layers or densities of reality where time no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
Time at least as we perceive it.
Mm-hmm.
That being linear.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense to you. Asking the listener to consider time as a simultaneous time
mm-hmm.
rather than the linear time that we have now, which is very difficult to perceive.
Right.
But
right.
I think that's what the message of 2012 is.
Mm-hmm.
And I invite people to consider that change is good.
Right.
We've been programmed to be afraid of so much.
Mm-hmm.
But we need change on this planet. We
right.
need a new paradigm.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what comes on December 22nd, 2012.
Right, right.
And I'd also like to suggest this. I do believe without question to that
mm-hmm.
December 22nd, we will wake up and people will be Christmas shopping and there will be a huge global cry of relief,
mm-hmm.
or I should say sigh of relief,
mm-hmm.
because it will have passed this date and everything will be intact.
Mm-hmm.
And this global recognition of this fact will mean that so much fear and anxiety and anticipation and doom will evaporate. And this negative energy going away is going to be a huge leap in consciousness for humankind.
Mm-hmm. But look at all that's been put out there in this process, all that negativity.
Yeah, well, the powers that rule this planet want us to be in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And that is obvious and clear by the media. Well, movies are media too, but
mm-hmm.
the propaganda, political media, it's all about fear.
Right, right.
Terror, fear, and impotence to be able to manage your own life without somebody keeping you safe, watching out for you. And
yes,
I don't believe that. I don't believe that I'm not mm-hmm. safe. And I don't believe that the bad guy is always lurking around the corner. And I trust that my soul knew what it was doing when it came in.
Right.
And that 2012 is a date, an important one, but we have a lot to look forward to as we move forward
right.
out of the age of reason into the age of Aquarius.
Mm-hmm. Now, we have always had good and evil forces that separate or bring us together in this world. And these forces seem to perpetuate fear that you mentioned, or the opposite would be love. And will these forces join together at this time in 2012, or will we continue to have opposing forces?
I believe that the nature of the third dimensional reality that we're in is the existence of polar opposites.
Mm-hmm.
And that at various times in human history, these can be greater or lesser, depending on the evolutionary patterns of civilization. And that right now we are at an extreme separation of dark and light.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, living with these extreme polarities,
mm-hmm.
good and bad, dark, light and dark, love and hate, which I'd prefer to say love and fear, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And that I don't think that necessarily 2012 rings a bell and it all diffuses into a one, let's say, an integration of these opposites. But I feel that it's the beginning of the process of the refinement of this extremity, of the extreme polarity that we're in, so that the nature of that means that we are, as we are moving up into a higher consciousness, the polarity starts to lessen and become refined, and we, by nature of that fact, climb higher on the spiral of light.
And Patricia, you said that in 2012 things wouldn't just magically happen, but it was a gradual process. And are we in that process now that's leading up to
absolutely. If you look around you, even people who are not necessarily on their spiritual path are talking about how things are mutating, like time. So many people are talking about time now. Even the most skeptical people are noticing that there seems to be some kind of mutation going on with time. And that's quite remarkable, because these are the same people who demand scientific proof are saying, it just doesn't seem like there are 24 hours in a day anymore. And I love to tell them there aren't. It's an illusion. Because we are most clearly in some sort of a mutational space in the space-time continuum where time has mutated. So you've got people who say, I can't believe it's already 8 p.m. I just barely got up. There are others who say, I can't believe it's November. It just felt like July, and so on, because we are going through this process of beginning to recognize how time is not necessarily an element of absolute reality. It can be mutated. It shifts. And we're seeing that. So this is one example, a very clear example of how people are understanding the changes that are coming about.
I like what my friend Bernie Siegel says. I told him, I said, you know, I sit down at the computer working on my radio show, and it seems like 15 minutes have gone by, and I look and 4 or 5 hours have gone by. And he said, well, that's great, because when you're passionate about something and time goes by like that, he said, you only age 15 minutes. I said, oh, that's good. I like that.
I like that, too. Well, there is the argument for that people say, when I bring up the conversation about time, there is the logical conversation regarding our busyness and the fact that we are so absorbed in so many things now that we lose track of the time. But I don't think that's it. Because I can go out and run errands like I did a year ago, the same errands that I did a year ago, but I will come back and it will be 2 hours later. And it's just, I notice huge pockets of time completely disappearing. And I find myself thinking, how could it possibly be that I've gotten this little done in this much time? So it is something important to be aware of, that this is one demonstration of the refining of this density of reality that we're in, that it seems to be shifting. And that's what I think the Mayans were telling us. Your question was, are we already in it? Yes, look around us. The world that we have known until now is starting to crumble. The governments are shaky. The financial world is falling down. People are being faced with living reality in a way they never thought they would before. And this is, in one way, frightening, and in another way, very exciting, because to me, it is representative of a global feng shui, the clearing of the old to prepare for the new. So although there is some suffering, I won't deny that, there is an opening for a very huge new way to base our societies on once we break down the old to make way for the new. And that's what I think we're doing now, and that is the process of the 2012 shift.
And you couldn't really have the new without getting rid of the old.
Definitely. And the fact is that part of the old is the values that we have inculcated in our minds, in our children, in our societies,
mm-hmm.
which are so largely material.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That
right.
bring nothing but violence, dissatisfaction, and unhappiness if you really look at it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what's breaking down? What we believed was material security. People losing their homes, financial institutions breaking, banks breaking, people wondering about the value of money, which is fake anyway.
Right, right.
It's starting to disappear right before our eyes, and we're getting through it.
Mm-hmm, right.
So to people who are so full of fear, I say, when you get through the fear and you look at a situation, even if you lose your comfort zone for a while, it's just a while. It's passage. And be aware that there will be a new that replaces this.
Mm-hmm.
And the optimist will see it as better, and the negativist will see it as destruction.
Right.
And that is up to each of us to create.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned time. What other things are people experiencing as we move from third?
There is a general feeling about the energy or the vibrational level that people can feel, sensitive people,
mm-hmm.
as an acceleration of intelligence, technology, of course,
mm-hmm.
a kind of, it's more than just the breaking down of the old. There is definitely a buzz energetically about the revolutionary forces that are at work on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
And there is every sign that we are about to have disclosure as to ET life,
mm-hmm.
extraterrestrial life,
mm-hmm.
and extraterrestrial presence on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
More and more, we are being shown on the media and these leaked from NASA and from the government that life is not only possible, but they're starting to let us know that it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
Have you heard about the Mars rock?
No.
Well, back in the days of Clinton, when this rock first came out, they showed the fossilized images from that sample, and Clinton said this may very well be proof that there has been life on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And then they poo-pooed it, and it disappeared. And now they've brought it back out again, and NASA's saying, well, it is bacterial fossils in this rock sample.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, these leaks that come out of NASA come out at 11 o'clock at night so that they're slowly letting it out to society.
Mm-hmm.
But I pay strict attention to these things.
Mm-hmm.
Wowee! Imagine if part of the 2012 shift is humanity being allowed to know that we are not alone in the universe and that life surrounds us all over the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about a shift in consciousness.
Right, right.
So I think that that is something that's happening. More and more people are aware of it. And that it's going to be very soon now.
Mm-hmm.
So immense things are happening. For people who are paying attention, it's already becoming very evident. And for the others who are not paying attention, it will be soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, the others who are not paying attention, are they having more and more and more difficulty because of their resistance?
Well, yeah, sure. Because if you look at the people, let's say, who are not paying attention, and by that we're talking about the spiritual unfolding.
Mm-hmm.
People who are really concentrated on material satisfaction, work and their jobs, all of those things that give people a sense of security are shaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if people are in good shape, they're comfortable about their jobs, they're looking at other people losing their jobs, and their focus is, what if it happens to me?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lot of focus on sexuality at this moment on this planet. And it's not good. It's lower forms, pretty animalistic sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you agree?
Right, right.
And that keeps getting seems to me, worse and worse and worse, to where love and romance seem to be taking a back seat to just really hard sex for sex's sake.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where it can go from here, but I think that this, too, is something that's going to come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
This animalistic very lower chakra stuff,
mm-hmm.
survival, sex, and power over others,
mm-hmm.
I think is going to shift into a higher understanding. Because when you lose, as you see, some people are losing their homes,
right,
and faced with being out on the street or in a van and coming out and talking about how it feels to be in that position and what opportunities they've been given to re-examine their lives.
Right, right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And, this is the human spirit. I think that when real hardship happens to people, by and large, they rise to the occasion and say, okay, this has happened. Let me see how I can turn this into a growth experience. And
right.
this is revolution.
Right. And they're a better person as a result of having gone through that experience.
Well, sure, because let's be realistic. When you're comfy in your comfort zone, having a beer, watching TV, life is pretty dull. I mean, it's comfortable, but it's predictable.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't really make great changes, because truly great experience in life usually comes through great changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people will agree with that if they think about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be a great change, like having a baby, up to a major life, complete re-examination of your life change.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're comfy in the couch and life is static and secure, there's not much growth going on, because
right.
we get distracted by the activity level of life.
Right, right.
When we do our greatest work is when we're challenged.
Right.
And that sometimes is hardship up front, but we rise to the occasion.
Right.
And make our lives work and fix what's broken.
Mm-hmm.
This is the spirit of humanity,
mm-hmm.
and I believe in humanity.
Right, right. Patricia, there has always been a spiritual principle that what goes around comes around. It's known by karma. It's known by different things. And some people say that as we move from a third dimensional to a fourth dimensional world, karma will be obsolete. There will be no such thing as karma. And yet other people say there will actually be three levels of karma. There will be the level where it continues as it is now. There will be another level where it's almost instantaneous. And there will be a third level of people who have risen above karma and no longer experiencing karma. What are your thoughts about karma as we move from third dimensional to fourth dimensional world?
That's a very good question. I look at karma as a process of the soul that still remains on the wheel of incarnation, that in that process of purification of the soul, it goes around and around and around, working through lessons like the great school systems that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than a wheel, I do see a spiral, a light spiral. And people can be on that spiral, rotating around in a certain stuck pattern, more or less stuck, for as many lifetimes as they want, working through those lessons, which we call karma,
mm-hmm.
of acquired experience, whether good or bad, because sometimes people forget that you can also create good
right,
karma.
Right.
So you work around it, you go through it again and again and again until you haven't got any more need to learn those lessons. And I believe that when you graduate out of the physical dimension
mm-hmm.
and you move up to the clearing station, which is the fourth,
mm-hmm.
you get to look at the karma again, but you are leaving it behind. I don't
mm-hmm.
really feel comfortable with the description of the three different levels
no.
of karma.
Mm-hmm.
I think as the planet even moves out of the third dimension, because that's what my
mm-hmm.
books talk about,
mm-hmm.
you can pretty much choose. Are you going to go back into another physical world, which would be death, or are you going to ascend to a higher level, which would be the ascension process?
Mm-hmm.
Does that
right.
resonate with you?
Mm-hmm. Right, right. Mm-hmm. Then, Patricia, are there
yeah.
specific things that people can do to facilitate the process as we move from third to fourth dimensional world?
I think the most important thing that people need to do now is to examine fear, because it is paralyzing people.
Mm-hmm.
And it begins with looking at, well, it begins with acknowledging whether or not you truly believe that your higher being, your higher self, chose to come into this reality for a reason, and that it chose the time it came in, and it chooses the time it's going out, which is how I perceive reality.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can trust that and have faith in that higher purpose, then you begin to relax with everything else,
mm-hmm.
because the soul knows what it's doing. If you'll just relax and trust
mm-hmm.
that whatever unfolds, you came here to be part of.
Mm-hmm.
We have a tendency to want to control reality. In fact, a lot of people use this word. I feel like I'm out of control, or I need to control the situation better. And one thing you have to learn is surrender in this life.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control it.
Mm-hmm.
You can exercise your mind to manifest things in your life, but control life? I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
So I think now's the time for people to look at how they perceive themselves, how they deal with fear and obedience, because the governments and religions want people to be in obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly believe that it's a time to release ourselves from those holds and become the truly divine beings that we are,
mm-hmm.
that we are destined to live out in the physical reality as we move higher and higher on this spiral of light.
Mm-hmm.
So my recommendation for people is get out of fear,
mm-hmm.
get out of obedience, and celebrate, trust that you know exactly what you're doing at the soul level.
Mm-hmm.
And with the question of 2012, what if the world does end then?
Right.
So be it. If you really understand that you are immortal, which is a big, huge lesson,
mm-hmm.
to understand that we're all immortal souls, and that if you're not in this hologram, you will go on to another one, because you don't die. You never die.
Mm-hmm.
You transform, you transmute into another reality, but you don't die.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that I really invite people to start contemplating: their own immortality, their own divine I am presence, and the simple beauty of being alive.
Mm-hmm. Now, would good music facilitate this process? For example, the music of Tom Kenyon that affects the brain states, the alpha, beta, theta states, and also that affects the heart chakra, that would move people from the lowest of the chakras up to a higher level in the chakras?
Well, yes. If you look at the chakric system, you realize that it is representative of the diatonic scale of music.
Mm-hmm.
So every chakra corresponds to a note on the diatonic scale. And the universe itself is music. Everything is music and vibration.
Mm-hmm.
Color is music and vibration, geometry, it all has a frequency, there's a lot of discordant music too. In fact, if you look at some of the music that the younger guys are listening to out there, it's pretty outrageously discordant.
Right, right.
And it creates chaos in the body, because mm-hmm. we must remember that the body is 80% water, and Dr. Emoto is teaching so many people how water retains memory.
Mm-hmm.
So when you've got vibrational frequencies going into the body that are of a discordant or unharmonious pattern, this pattern goes into the waters of the body, and there are intercellular, intracellular, and extracellular waters in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And the disharmony is memorized in those waters,
mm-hmm.
and it creates unwellness.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you put in beautiful, harmonious sounds and colors and light, the body waters remember that and reflect that back, not only to all of the cells within the body, but also out into the auric field and out to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of logical that if you're listening to Beethoven, who, by the way, when you look at those classic musicians, you know that they were really working with sacred geometry.
Mm-hmm.
And when you listen to melodic music, there's so much to choose from. knowing that every cell in the body is taking that music, expressing it in sacred geometry, and reflecting it through the entire being, how can it not be anything but absolutely illuminating?
Mm-hmm. Then I'd like to ask about the world. You mentioned earlier that we weren't in very good shape, and you mentioned some of the things that are happening in the world, like the banks and the mortgage companies, and then there's the wars and the drought and the global warming and hurricanes, tornadoes, genetically engineered foods, pesticides in the foods, the waters and air is toxic, and you can just go on and on and on. There's also corruption, homeless, and many other ills in the world. And as people increase their consciousness and replace fear with love, will these human and environmental problems just kind of evaporate? Or are they going to take a lot of effort on the part of specialists to do something about them?
I think that we need quite a revolution in the ecosystems on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
If you consider that Gaia is a living conscious being, the Mother Earth, she's angry. She has every reason to be angry. We have really done a job on deliberately destroying her bountiful body.
Mm-hmm.
Total disregard from one species, human beings. The other animals try their best to live in peace with nature, but it's the humans that screw it up.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So this is our talk about karma. We have a huge karmic debt with this planet
mm-hmm.
to heal what we have so really drastically disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to me that the human race only really gets into action when we're at the utter breaking point.
Mm-hmm.
You agree?
Right, right, right.
As a global force, I mean, we are a lot of bodies now, 6.8 billion human beings on this planet, soon to be 7 billion. So it's hard for people that are in our circles of spirituality to hear me say that because
mm-hmm.
they can resent it and say we're doing our best. But
mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the entire global population.
Mm-hmm.
Before we all get moving and responsible, something really has to happen because otherwise we're complacent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening, and people are finally starting to pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we need this. I'm sorry to say this, but I think that we need the Earth to say, look, if you are not going to pay attention, I'm going to show you my power.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do have calamities occurring, and there are going to be more. Of course there are going to be more until we stop misbehaving and treating the planet like a garbage can.
Mm-hmm.
The Earth will continue to rebel.
Mm-hmm.
And so the extreme of this is happening now, and this is good because it is waking up huge numbers of people around the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Individuals as well as concerned environmental groups. Even governments are finally saying, we've got to change this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's a tough process to go through. But again, as we were talking about the financial breaking down, all of that,
mm-hmm.
it's like show and tell time on planet Earth.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Are we going to save this planet or not?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she knows what to do, this Earth Mother,
mm-hmm.
this glorious Earth Mother. And I also think that the sun is a conscious being, and it knows what to do as well.
Mm-hmm.
So hold on. We're in for some rock and roll here. But the Earth will heal.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, are we going to have to go through a process to understand that. There are some people in the circles that I am privileged to communicate with who feel that we're going to receive technology from another source that will
mm-hmm.
help us cleanse some of the damage that we've done here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very possible.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if that has not happened throughout history. When you think of the beautiful music, you mentioned Beethoven. Do you think that they really did this on their own, or do you think that there was spiritual intervention throughout history that provided some of these things for humanity?
Absolutely. If you consider that Mozart wrote a symphony at age 3.
Right.
I don't care how much of a genius he was. At age three, there has to be more to it than that. So, mm-hmm. of course, there's no question that, for starters, there are some children who have incredible memory of the past life.
Mm-hmm.
Just as it's very clear to me, at least, that throughout history, we have been assisted by ETs, which are extraterrestrial beings,
mm-hmm.
and EDs, which are extra-dimensional beings,
mm-hmm.
which is my good fortune to work with. And I think that we've seen signs of this recorded in many structures around the planet, in Egypt, for one, and that the wisdom. I truly believe that light beings from many densities and dimensions
mm-hmm.
look after the lower and the lower and the lower. It's like a spiral,
mm-hmm.
and the ones that are just ahead reach out a hand and say, don't worry, we're here, we'll help you
mm-hmm.
Get through the bumpier parts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the role of all consciousness, to reach out to the less capable or the less fortunate
mm-hmm.
and help them, which
mm-hmm.
is why we have to remember this, to forgive, which is the ultimate lesson of any spiritual human being. Even the darkest soul, even the darkest behavior,
mm-hmm.
to forgive it and help these misguided people climb that spiral.
Right, right.
Reaching out a hand,
mm-hmm.
spiritually as well as physically,
mm-hmm.
metaphorically.
Mm-hmm.
This is the greatest challenge we face. It's very easy to talk spirituality with spiritual people.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is helping people that are still so blocked, and some people who are dedicated to darkness,
right.
helping them get through it.
Mm-hmm.
No easy feat.
Right. Then I'd like to talk a little bit about the healthcare system, which we've both been involved with. And like everything else in humanity, there are those who tend to be negative and those who tend to be positive forces. And I would like to think that nurses, who are the most trusted profession, would be one of the positive forces in general. And on the other extreme, I think maybe the drug companies tend to be the more negative force, that are motivated by different motives than nurses are motivated by. And I'll give you an example. When I had lung cancer 33 years ago, I was given 6 months to live, and I used Laetril. But now the literature says that Laetril has cyanide and will kill you. And there's a lot of natural, effective products that will help people, but they're blocked from being on the market because either through what is written or through the FDA or some other source, because they are not money makers for the drug companies. And another example would be a few months back when the American elderly were going to Canada to get their medications because they were cheaper, and then that was blocked because they were told, well, this might not be safe. It seems that some of these things are being broken down now because you've got the National Alternative Complementary Center that is doing research on the natural products. You've got the naturopathic physicians. You've got the public that is demanding changes in the healthcare system. They can't afford it anymore. So you've got lots of things that are happening in the healthcare system. But it doesn't seem like it's moving as fast as I would like to see. For example, Laetril, which I used 33 years ago, is only legal in 3 states in the United States, and so a lot of people still go to Mexico for it. What do you see happening, and are things going to be changing a little more rapidly in the healthcare field, or is it going to be a continual battle to get the care that people need and should have?
I think that this is one of the greatest battles of humankind, because the way that the system is worked out at the moment, the healthcare, let's start with the pharmaceutical companies
mm-hmm.
that are usually part of multinational companies like petroleum
mm-hmm.
companies and other huge megalithic structures.
Mm-hmm.
The nature of the pharmaceutical industry is, without a sick population, we don't have any product. We don't have any market.
Right.
People have to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
It's marketing. It's money. If you're not sick, what are they going to sell you?
Mm-hmm.
If you understand this basic concept,
mm-hmm.
you can begin to understand why we are as sick as we are, because there are very few people on this planet that are not subscribing to some medication
mm-hmm.
treatment for mm-hmm. everything from psoriasis to headaches to much more difficult problems like you've experienced.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is getting worse and worse. Now they're medicating children. We've got a whole new genre of medications
mm-hmm.
for psychotropic, for
yeah.
all these new syndromes that we didn't have 15 years ago. We've
right.
got every kind of syndrome
mm-hmm.
for ADHD for children and itchy scalp syndrome and social rehabilitation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm being facetious,
right.
but the truth is that some doctors say these are not real syndromes. It's a marketing ploy by the pharmaceutical companies to sell you and keep you medicated.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a very frightening thing.
Mm-hmm.
So they want to eliminate naturopathic, any kind of naturopathic substance from the market, because they do not want people to be well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do not know about it, there's a new global world order type of structure called Codex Alimentarius. Have
mm-hmm.
you heard of this?
Mm-hmm. Right. Uh-huh.
Yes?
Right.
People need to be informed about Codex Alimentarius, because this doctrine, which is being put into place at these meetings of the top seven globalized nations,
mm-hmm.
the concept is they are going to force genetically modified food upon us, like
mm-hmm.
it or not.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to outlaw all naturopathic treatments, all substances that are not produced by pharmaceutical companies and
mm-hmm.
approved by the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
You will not be able to even get, from what I've heard, even essential oils will be banned unless they've been
mm-hmm.
approved by the FDA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does this tell us? For me, it tells us that this is a global attack on our sovereignty, and that the intention is to keep 6.8 billion people in servitude to the medical pharmaceutical industry.
Right, right.
So I think that this is a time when people are going to have to really look at what's being offered out there, and this whole deal that's coming down in America about the global health care reform and whatever,
mm-hmm.
they've got to go deeper than this
mm-hmm.
and ask themselves, how much of their power are they going to give away to pharmaceutical
mm-hmm.
and the medical industry?
Mm-hmm.
It's a big issue. And if they take away vitamins and supplements, what they're saying is, you are not allowed to be well.
Right. They've already taken vitamin B6 and allowed the drug companies to see if they can make a drug out of that.
But oh, yeah. It's all going to go. Well, all vitamin supplements are going to go to be replaced with synthetic products that are produced by the pharmaceutical companies, because they know it's a multi-billion-dollar business.
Right.
And they
right.
want it.
Right.
So I really feel that we are, even this is positive, because as you might have noticed, I'm a pretty positive
right, right.
person. And I'm looking always for the positive to understand why these things occur.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that this process is to even help us understand, we don't even need the vitamins. It's in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So you well know that in healing yourself. We go that next step. We went from, for so many people have been able to walk away from the pharmaceutical alternative and
right.
heal themselves with vitamins. And now we go
mm-hmm.
one step further
mm-hmm.
to understanding that we don't even need that. It's
mm-hmm.
in our mind.
Mm-hmm.
And this, too, is an ascension process.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Isn't it?
I like that. Right.
From an experience that would have a dark intention,
mm-hmm.
we can derive a very light result.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for trying to eliminate this, to take this away from us, because you are our teachers, and you're showing us we don't even need that.
I like that because I'm one that does not take drugs. I use herbs. And at this point, I am 77. I have no chronic illnesses, and I take no prescribed medications. And when I have a problem, I try to handle it with herbs. And they work nicely. But it would be even cheaper and more convenient if I could just handle it on my own, as you say.
Well, the body knows what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Illness derives out of not believing in your body and some disharmony in your emotional body,
mm-hmm.
and forgetting that your body is divine. It knows what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as we have the even the minimum pain, which is a signal,
mm-hmm.
a messenger, we run out and heal it, either with aspirin or some people take every kind of, I can't believe what people put in their bodies immediately after they feel a pain.
Right, right.
And then there are others who go out and use herbs or St. John's Wort or alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not trying to be holier than thou, but I really try not to use anything.
Mm-hmm.
If I've got a headache, there's a message. So I ask myself, why is my body giving me this message?
Mm-hmm.
And what is the headache from? Let me follow it through. And then thank my body for letting me know that I'm watching the computer too long or I'm straining my eyes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, this is a general explanation. I'm not suggesting that every dis-ease in the body is that simplistic.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that we are going to learn more and more how to remember wellness.
Mm-hmm.
Believe in wellness. Remember wellness. And trust that the body knows what to do to heal it. So my boyfriend is Italian. He's been brought up that the minute you get a sniffle, you fill up the medicine cabinet with everything from detergent to
mm-hmm.
demystifier, the whole works. And when I get a cold, he comes home with all of this ridiculous stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, when are you going to understand? I refuse to take this. And we battle. He says, you know, it'll reduce the symptoms. The symptoms are there because I need to rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. So my body's putting me to bed with a cold.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you take all of this stuff or not, a cold is probably going to last a week. I get to rest.
Right, right.
And he just looks at me, throws his hands up in the air. And when he gets a cold with all of the garbage he puts in his body, it's a week anyway.
And then does he detox after to get rid of all that garbage?
That's the point. I've tried to tell him. I don't have to detox all that stuff out of my body. So I do see a very up ending to
mm-hmm.
a very dark beginning,
mm-hmm.
which is these guys wanting to, for us to be a market society where they can ply us with every kind of drug. And
mm-hmm.
they don't probably realize that they're doing us a great service
yeah.
to teach us that we don't need that stuff.
Right. I like that. Yeah, that sounds great. Now, Patricia, are there other things you'd like to say before we look at your products and your services and books?
I would like to say that I hope that people can get more comfortable by understanding some of the political things that are happening now and realizing that everything that they look at on television is focused on extremely low energy. The sexuality, bestiality of sex is, I'm not a prima, what's the word?
Pollyanna. Pollyanna.
Yeah, thank you. I'm certainly not, but I just can't bear any of that stuff. It's just
no,
too much already.
I can't either.
Love and romance are out the window, and this kind of degrading animal behavior is what's being promoted on the media.
Mm-hmm.
So I invite people to turn it off and celebrate the sweetness of being.
Mm-hmm.
Get it back. And this comes from, again, as you said, faith, however you perceive it,
mm-hmm.
trusting that the universe is unfolding just as it should, and being sweet and gentle
mm-hmm.
with yourself, with animals, with the earth, and with the people around you, and make the world, even if in a small way, be a light,
mm-hmm.
be a lighthouse, and make the world as around you as brilliant as you can.
Wonderful. Now, Patricia, would you like to tell us about your books and your services and all the things that you do?
Yes, thank you. My books are channeled material. The first books that I produced were messages from a higher source, which is the sixth dimension. And as when they first came out, that was a little bit less
well received
than it is now. But they're called the Syrian Revelations. There are a number of books. And my website is SyrianRevelations.net.
Can you spell that, Patricia?
Sorry? Syrian, S-I-R-I-A-N, Revelations, all attached, .net. And I got a bunch of information there. I've got a blog with information that I think is important for people that I update regularly. So I welcome people to come to the site. And I've got a brand new book out, which is not part of the Syrian Revelations material. It's called Where Pharaohs Dwell, One Mystic's Journey Through the Gates of Immortality. And in that book, I talk about past lives and karma. So I hope you'll get a chance to read that. It's just out now. And I do speak around the world. I'm constantly on the road. And I teach a workshop called DNA Activation, Level 1 and 2, which is really helping people break through a lot of barriers to that process of acceleration. So I'm a busy girl, and I hope that people will come and see what I'm up to.
Will you talk a little bit about the pennant? Isn't it a pennant that I ordered?
Ah, the Syrian seal.
Yeah.
Yes, this Syrian seal is something that I was given in a number of evenings where I would walk outside the door at 4 in the morning, look up in the sky, and see this symbol spiraling in the sky. And I at first thought it was a craft, a spacecraft. I had no idea. I was in kind of altered consciousness, as you can imagine. And after four nights, I understood that this had a meaning, this symbol. And I was told to produce this, to create it, and to get it out to people. And what is remarkable about this is that so many people have written to me and told me that the Syrian seal image that's on my site is something they've either got tattooed on their leg or they've doodled for years. It's got a common sense about it. It's a very stellar symbol. And I'm always amazed when people write and tell me that they know this symbol. And it's something, even Reiki people say that when they work with it, the energy that explodes through the healing is so much more powerful and heightened. So I produced it in copper, as I was instructed to do, and it's available through my site only. It comes with a book which talks about the use of the tool as an activator. It's got tachyon energy in it. It's very strong when it's used with crystals. Quite a powerful tool. Have you received yours yet?
No, but it will take time.
I look forward to hearing how you work with that.
Yeah. Also, would you tell us your BBS station?
Ah, yes. I have a weekly show called Beyond the Matrix. Well, you can imagine I get pretty out there on that show. Actually, the subtitle is For People Who Dare to Think Outside the Box of Convention. In fact, I'd love you to come on as my guest.
Good.
The show is on Saturdays, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. On bbsradio.com. And tomorrow is Saturday. Oh, boy, how you see? There's that time warp again.
Right.
My guest is Andrew Basiago, who will be talking about remote viewing and life on Mars. I really like to get out there on this show and introduce people to some pretty exciting, cutting-edge information about us, our Earth, and our role in the universe. So I invite people to come and check that out if they'd like to hear it more.
Well, I appreciate this very much, Patricia. It's been very interesting, and I've enjoyed hearing your thoughts about 2012.
And thank you, Carl. It's been wonderful talking with you, and I look forward to you coming on my show and talking to us about your insights on health and the progress of the human race. I'm sure you can really enlighten us with much more information than we've been able to discuss today.
Great. Thank you, Patricia.